got to look forward to. But what is destiny? I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. The epistle to the church in Colossae, chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading some scripture. I'm going to be talking about destiny. If you catch this word today, your life will never be the same again. I'm not saying that in a blasé way. If you catch the truth of what I'm about to speak to you about today, your life is going to be transformed. Are you ready? I mean, are you ready? You need to, you know, engage in this. Like, you know, I got a little dog called Pablo. He's a French bulldog. He's got a face like someone has smashed him into a wall and then got him off the wall and then gave him a wasp to chew. He's like that, right? But how many of you have got a dog or you've ever had a pet? Most of the English people, some of the West Indians, the Africans are like, ah. What is that? A dog in the house? Amen. Cultural differences. English are like, yeah, dog on the bed. African will be like, shut up. Cultural differences. But, you know, with a dog, for example, when you're about to give a dog a bit of food, what does the dog do? He gets excited, man. When I go to give my dog a little bit of food, he gets excited. If he had a tail, he'd wag it. His little bum wags. He ain't got a tail, so he just wags his back. His whole body wags. And he dribbles, he salivates, he smiles, his eyes gleam, his ears perk up even more than they do anyway. And he's like, I'm ready to receive this morsel of bacon rind or whatever nonsense you give a dog, right? I mean, if you know, when we come into the house of the Lord and we're about to get angel food, we're about to get eternal bread, we're about to get living water, we're about to get food that is just going to sustain us and change us and build us and grow us, then we say, are you ready? And you're like, yeah, whatever. Nah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Shocked a few of you, man. Thought cat was about a bag. Well, whatever you want. Colossians chapter 3. This is gonna blow you away. It's gonna amaze you. Colossians chapter 3. Destiny. Title of this message: it's Destiny's Child. Let me remember, that was a group. Huh? I forget any song they sang, but it's gonna point to you. What songs did they sing? I'm a Survivor. Well, that's the one Promise remembered. Let's have one from over here. What did they sing? Say My Name, Say My Name. Huh? Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Check that out. So put to death the sinful, earthly things. I love this word. Lurking within you. I mean, if you love the word lurk, it goes along with the word skulk. Amen. Skulking and lurking. I mean, if you know, we got some stuff lurking inside of us. You know, it just creeps around, don't it? And it catches you unawares. Amen. Like that little curse word that flips out in your mind every now and again. Oh, come on. Huh? Or the little, you know, the little double look. Hello. And you're like, what? What happened? And even though you don't want to do it, sin is lurking there somewhere, huh? Lurks, skulks. That's what sin is. It's a lurking thing, horrible lurking thing. Lurks. Sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Some of you, some of us, bow down to a bit of cake or a little bit of chocolate every now and again. Amen? Extra bit of chicken. Come on now. It's like, you know, when you're greedy, it's like... It's good to see things like this. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. The anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now, everyone say now.
Now,
now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. How many of you know? You have to put off the old nature before you put on the new nature. Sometimes the way God does it is he lets us get born again while we're still mad. Right? We're still at it. I got saved while I was still a drug addict. And even though I came into the presence of God, had my sins forgiven, I went away and had a fix. Right? Even though I had a robe of righteousness he'd put on me that I did not deserve, I still went away and slammed a needle into my vein. But guess what happened? That old nature, it didn't fit right under the new nature. And the new nature felt so good that I wanted to take off the old nature. It was like the new nature was made of silk and cashmere and the underbelly hair of a yak or something. Soft and smooth and wonderful and comfortable. And the old nature was like a hairy old bit of goat skin. And it just didn't feel right. Are you with me? But you can't have both. It's one or the other. And even though there's things that still lurk around, it ain't the old nature. It's just some echoes of it. Some stuff that we still have to deal with while we're living in this world. Some things that we come into contact with. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you are clean, but still I must, you are clean because of the word I've spoke to you, but I still must wash your feet. Because even though we're clean, our feet, it means that you still come into contact with a dirty, sinful world. And we still need to keep coming to Christ in order to be washed from the things of the world. Are you with me? But he says, put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Watch this. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. Say that with me. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in us, in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Amen? Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Oh, there's a big one. How many of you have been offended before? Huh? We have to forgive people, even though they don't deserve it. Because when you forgive someone that don't deserve it, You're actually the one that gets set free. They've still got to deal with the consequences. But you don't have to deal with their consequences. Does that make sense? Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Some of you, you're in pieces right now. You should be in peace, but you're in pieces. It's because something else is probably ruling you. Amen? Might be anger, might be passion of some description, some other desire, some other thought, you know, some other thing that someone's told you. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but it also leaves by hearing by the word of someone else who ain't God. Are you with me? Can leech you away your faith. And then he says, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What is destiny? In simple terms, destiny is God's purpose for your life. It is your appointed or your ordained future. Destiny is what God predetermined you to be and to become in his divine will. That's destiny. Destiny is the path you follow in life that takes you to your ultimate destination. How many of you know there's two destinations that every single person on this earth faces? There is God's perfect will for your life. There is the destiny that God wants you to live, and there is the destiny that people live when they disobey God, don't do what he says, and want to do it their own way. Therefore, those two paths lead to two separate destinations. And every one of us faces just two destinations. You're either going to be with God forever or you're not. It's really important to understand that everybody's destiny begins in the same place in God. And it should end up in the same place. Sadly though, many people either fail to find it or they choose not to follow it. These people end up in something called the lake of fire forever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 says, John having a vision. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Books were open. These are the books of everything you've ever done. Everything you've ever said. What a scary thought. Amen? That someone was recording you when you were moaning about me. And there's a few books of being recorded of me moaning about you probably as well. Books. Things we've done. Right? And all of the bad things we've done were probably marked in black. And all the good things we've done might be marked in some other colour. But how many of you know, there'll be more black than there will be any colour. Right? The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, people think that when they die, that's it. They just blink out. Some people think they're going to come back as something else. Some people think they're going to have another turn of the wheel. Some people think they're going to be reincarnated. Some people think that, you know, as long as you've done more good than you've done bad, that God's good, that everyone goes to heaven. You know, some people think, whatever you think is up to you, whatever you think. But the truth is, that there is a second death for some people. When you die, that ain't the end of it. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get your name in the book of life? It's not by what you do that's good. It's not by whether you're a good person. It's whether you believe in Jesus. It's whether you follow him. It's whether you're found in him. It's whether you belong to him. Then your name is written down in the book of life. And one day when all the books are opened, that one book of life with your name in it supersedes everything else. In fact, they'll open the other books and there won't be anything there under your name apart from belongs to Jesus. All the bad stuff gets washed away. It gets wiped away. It's like it's been rubbed out. What happens is Jesus takes his blood, or he took his blood, and he went up to those books in heaven at some stage, poured his blood over them, and dissolved all of the writing that was against you and against me. Wow! How powerful is that? Just because we trust in Jesus. It's amazing. How many of you thank God for that? Imagine that. Imagine your prison record just got wiped away. Imagine your bad credit rating got wiped away. Come on now. Huh? Imagine all your bad marks got wiped away in uni, in college, in school, wherever. And when graduation day came, they said, pass with honours. You're like, what? I didn't attend. No, but someone did. He had long hair and a beard and he looked real good. And he knew everything. I didn't know your middle name was Jesus. Jesus stands in our place and does what we can't. Amazing. Wow. That's a heavy thing, man. This lake of fire business and this two destination business. And going into this lake of fire and a second death, that's a massive price to pay for doing your own thing. But I was ignorant. But I was this, but I was that. No one's that ignorant. Everyone gets an opportunity at some stage. When you follow your own way, you end up in a bad place. But those that decide to follow their destiny will be with God for eternity. I want to show you something about eternity. Sometimes we don't understand this concept of eternity. I'm going to show you an illustration. I've used a similar illustration before, but I saw this one. A guy by the name of Francis Chan did it, and I like it. I want to show you it. And I want you to understand a little bit about eternity. It's going to put some things in perspective in your life. See, a lot of the time we're worried about now. We're worried about what we have, what we get, what we're going to look like, where we're going to retire, how much money we've got in the bank, who we're with, who we're not with, you know, whether we've got a six-pack, should I lose weight, should I do this, I've got to do something great, I'm a failure, I'm a success, I want to do this, I want to do that. I want to show you something in eternity. I want to show you something. It's going to come in line. You're going to understand your destiny. It's going to blow you away. Your life's never going to be the same again. Are you ready?
Yes.
Imagine that this is eternity. Let me. Where's Big Mick at? Mick? Get in there. Take the end of this rope, right? And then go up and back. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. All right. You all right? You can stop. Just imagine Mick's gone out the door. He's gone up the precinct. He's gone round. He's gone onto the M602. He's gone down the M62. He's made it to Liverpool. He's gone across to Ireland. Then he's gone across the Atlantic to America. He's gone right across America. He's gone to the Pacific. He's gone right across the Pacific. He's come to the nations that are the other side of the Pacific. He's gone past Hawaii, Honolulu, Fiji and all that. He's come to Australia. He's gone across Australia, come through Malaysia, gone up through China, India, all around there. He's come up through Eastern Europe. He's come up to Europe. He's come all the way back and then gone round again and then again and again and again and again, and he's never stopped. Right? With the rope. That's eternity. It's never ending. Right? In relation to eternity, this piece of orange is life. It's your 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is that the Lord has given us. That's it. In relation to eternity. And if you got saved, how many of you got saved when you were in your 20s? 30s? 40s? How many of you got saved when you was one? Generally, we get saved kind of here, right? This is when you die. You get saved kind of here or here, right? This is how much life you have to live to find your destiny. And most of us, what we do is we waste it by... I'm not saying education's a waste. I'm not saying that marriage is a waste. I'm not saying that child rearing is a waste. I'm not saying that a career is a waste. I'm not saying any of that. But most people in the world, they want to live their own way and do fulfill their own destiny. They waste their life by doing those things outside of God. And then they'll kind of be educated and, you know, spend 4 or 5 years getting educated. Then they'll start off on the lowest rung of the ladder in their job, and then they might get up the career path, and then maybe they'll get married and they'll have kids. And then, you know, once you get married and have kids, then you ain't got no money again, you don't sleep again, you get fat and all that stuff. And then you can't wait to get your kids. Then you're working to get your kids into university so you can get rid of them, so you can start living your life. And then they're off in university, or they got a job, or you've married them off, or you've outsourced them somewhere else. And then you're kind of up here, you're 40, 50 years old, and now you've really got to put a bit of money down because you've only got 10, 15 or 20 years, you know, to get a bit of dough so you can retire. And then by the time you're 65 or 70 now, then you'll be able to live the life that you want to live. And then you've got 5 or 10 years, and then you turn your toes up. You're too old to be able to enjoy anything. You ain't got a beach body anymore. You know, it might be firm, it's just firm but down there now. You know, it's baggy. You know what I mean? And then we die. And death comes so quick. 1 minute you're here, the next minute you're gone. And then eternity begins. And many people think that your destiny is all this stuff that you're loving and that you're, you know, my destiny is to be a writer. My destiny is to be a musician. My destiny is to be a doctor. My destiny is to be married and have kids. My destiny is to have all this stuff. No, that ain't your destiny. That's not it. That's not your destiny. In relation to eternity, this life is nothing. Bible says it's like smoke. Here today and gone tomorrow. How many of you think that the last 10 years have gone through really quick? How many of you can remember the millennium? You know what I mean? The millennium bug that was going to wipe out all of everyone's bank accounts and computers. And how many of you remember that? The millennium. How many of you remember when England won the World Cup? My goodness. Amen. Weren't that long ago? When you think about it. How many of you remember being young and spry? How many of you remember being able to eat what you want and not put on weight? How many of you are still in that place? You wrongdoer. My goodness. Goes like that. Goes like that. I'm 47 years old. And inside I'm 20. I'm still dancing, still getting down, still got the moves. In my mind, in our minds, we're still back there. Time is weird. Some of you in your mind, in worship, you're like an angel. Your face is gleaming, your arms are out, you look so austere and you look so holy. In reality, everyone's looking at you and you're going like this. Pulling shapes. Worship team, can you say amen? Right? Because what goes on inside in our minds and in our thinking and in our perception is not necessarily the truth. And we think that we've got to do all this stuff. And that's our destiny. I'm destined to be rich. Rubbish. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You're destined. See, everyone thinks that they've got a... Thanks, Mick. Stay there. Now drop the rope and come back. I'm going to keep that there for a minute. Thanks, Mick. You just helped someone fulfill their destiny. So Mick was thinking, is that my destiny to do that? We ain't got a lot of time to waste finding out what's real, really important. And the things we think are really important, in view of eternity, are not. What house you live in, what area you live in, whether you've got a six-pack, a beach body, whether you've been to the Caribbean, whether how many holidays you have, if you've climbed a mountain, jumped out of a plane, if you've done that, done this and done that, it's nice, it's good, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not your destiny. Having kids and getting married and being a pastor or being a leader or doing this or being a business owner or being a footballer, it's good, it's great, it's nice, but it ain't your destiny. Our life journeys are unique and personal and should be fulfilling. And our life journeys are what people mistake as our destiny. That's just your journey, but it ain't your destiny. Let me give you another illustration. The M6 is your destiny. Whatever car you're in is your journey. That's what you're going on your life journey in. But your destiny is the road. It's the path. Are you with me? And we make the mistake of worrying what car we're driving on the path. And a lot of people have got all these lovely cars and they're not on that road. They're on another path. They're on another road. And they've concentrated on the car when you should be concentrating on the road. Are you with me? You need to understand this. We're going somewhere right now. We're going to get there in a minute. Our life journeys are unique. But they're not our destiny. The good news is that God enables us to live our destiny very, very simply. Let me tell you what destiny is. Destiny, your destiny, becomes a reality when you start to follow Christ. Your destiny is the life you live for God. Now, I really want you to catch this. Destiny is the plan of God for our lives that is centered on and focused on God and what He wants to accomplish, not what we want to do. Destiny is what God wants to do, not what we want to do. The good news is that, as someone said, God is so good, He even allows us to enjoy what He wants us to do. So in that, when you get on the path, He might give you a nice motor. You might not go down the M6 on the back of a donkey. You might go down it in a nice four-wheel drive. The fact is, as long as you are on the path, you're fulfilling your destiny. The vehicle that you use is subject to the need or to the desire that God has for your life and what He wants you to do, right? You have to understand that. If you don't understand this, then you'll be moaning and complaining and comparing. See what happens? Your destiny starts when you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. That you are a sinner in need of salvation and that He is the Savior, the only way, the only truth, the only life, and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior and you follow Him for life, you begin living your destiny. Whatever vehicle He then gives you to drive along is determined on His will, not on your pleasure. It's about what pleases Him, not what pleases us. The problem is That there are people that are out there in the world that don't want to follow their destiny, that choose their own path, that are on a different road, leading to the wrong destination, the one that is all burning and fiery. Or you've got Christians that are living their destiny thinking they're not, because they're comparing the vehicle that they're in with someone else. And then you get unhappy, unfulfilled, powerless Christians. Because they're more concerned with looking at what someone else has got than thanking God that they're on the right path. Are you understanding this? I've been a pastor here in Manchester for coming up 13 years. And I slipped into this fake destiny stuff. We all do it. I started looking at the church and everything we were pouring into the church and the sacrifices we were making and the prayers we were praying and the stuff we had to go through and the things we didn't have and the people that were coming and then someone else turned up and they just started up a church and everyone wanted to go there. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, you know, people don't want to come here, and you know, they do, but you understand what I mean? All of a sudden, they went and done this thing, blew up. And I got into this little thing where I was comparing. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm a failure. Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. You know, God, am I really fulfilling my destiny? What am I doing wrong? And the Lord had to show me, that's not your destiny. Building a big church is not your destiny. Being a pastor is not your destiny. That's not your destiny. Serving me, getting to know me, loving me and following me, that's your destiny. The other stuff is whatever. You know, you don't know what they've had to go through to get where they got. Other people don't know what you've been through to get where you're at. It's irrelevant to other people. What is important is, how are you with me? Your destiny is you and God. It's you and God. You'll get there. You get there. Your destiny is God's will and plan for your life. I'm going to move through this real quick. God wants us to cooperate with him by accepting his will and working it out in our lives through making the right decisions that Jesus has already made possible and the Holy Spirit has empowered, because God is a relational being. We have to understand, though, that we shouldn't fall into the trap of thinking that God exists to provide for our pleasure or to fulfill our desires. Finding your destiny of life comes when you let go of selfishness and you join the Father by following Jesus the Son. You see, since Jesus went to the cross 2,000 plus years ago, God has desired the same destiny for all humanity. There's different life journeys. It comes with a different flavor. It's like ice cream, right? It might be pistachio for you. It might be cherry for someone else. Someone else might be a vanilla. Someone else might be a double chocolate. Someone else might be a little bit nutty. I don't know. But ice cream is ice cream. And God has one desire for destiny for all humanity. And that is that we should become like Jesus by believing in him, learning from him, and then representing him in the world that we live in. So many people are struggling and stressing in the world that we live in to have more stuff or more thrills without following God or his will. And you can have all that stuff right now, but in eternity, is that all you've got to remember? Because you ain't got no future. There's no goodness in your eternity. Just what you can remember from your misspent life. Or you can find your destiny, live for God, love God, know God, and your eternity is then spent in him with more to come. Real success and fulfillment comes from just following God and doing what the Lord says. We see a tremendous example of this when Jesus was beginning his ministry. Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 4 through 11. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Now go out where it's deeper, let down your nets to catch some fish. Master Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. It's like people, right? We used to be like that. How many of you have worked hard doing your own thing and never got a thing? Huh? Right? How is it you can work hard as an odd carrier and earn £30 a day, £50 a day? You can sit behind a desk, flick one switch and earn 30 million. How does that work out? Why is a lawyer worth more than a liar? You get a solicitor, writes a letter, it's 50 quid or a oneer, right? I write a letter, someone's charging me. Do you see what I mean? How does that work out? Master, we've worked all last night, didn't catch a thing. And they were experts, they knew what they were doing. But then he says this, watch. He says, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. Soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Success comes by listening to the voice of the Lord, by following his will, by listening to his direction, by doing what he wants. And it not only blesses you, it's going to bless everyone around you when you follow God's will. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which is an amazing name, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for men. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed him. They understood the secret of success wasn't in your expertise, wasn't necessarily in your hard work, wasn't in your sacrifice, it was in your obedience to God. By getting to know him, by following him and doing what he says, then success comes. Are you following me? Here's some mistakes people make. So many people are trying hard to make it on their own, but when you finally listen to Jesus and follow his direction, great blessings flow into your life, and it happens freely. It happens without pain, with no sorrow. So many Christians are striving to accomplish wonderful things for God, and they put all their worth in it. But the Lord boils it all down to this one simple question. Are you changing from glory to glory? Are you becoming more like Jesus? You're like, but God, I pray 60 hours a day. I fast twice a week. I give everything I have away. I wear sandals. I don't dance or listen to worldly music. Whatever. He says, are you becoming more like Jesus? How many of you have ever been... Listen, I've been in the men's home. We have a men's home. In the morning, they pray for an hour. It's part of the program. I've been in the men's home. I've run the men's home. I've pastored the men's home. And we've had men that pray for an hour, right, in the morning, and think they're doing a good thing. They shout, they sweat, they scream. Then they get up, and you say to them, right, can you go and empty the bins? They're like, what? Hold up a minute. You've just spent an hour in the presence of God. How comes you've come out of that hour in the presence of God in the flesh? It's not about what we do. It's about what he's done. Oh, you catch this, your life's going to change. Destiny. So many Christians striving to accomplish wonderful things to God. Romans 8:29 says, for God knew his people in advance. He chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. On judgment day, not one word is going to be spoken of about your mighty works, your great deeds, the amount of time you prayed, or the church you built, or the business you have, or the house you owned. Not one single word. There's going to be no notice of personal fame, success, or human accomplishment. Instead, the question is going to be to you, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you follow my son? Did you grow in Christ? Did you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you to serve others, to give up your rights? What were you like at home with your family, not what you were like in church? What about when you were at home? Were you still singing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs? Or were you effing and blinding and wanting to punch their lights out? Do others see Christ in you? Are you fulfilling your destiny? Christian, are you engaging in the life of your church community? Do you attend regularly and consistently? Here's a big thing. Some people turn up every now and again. If it's not consistent, then it's just convenient. If you're just going to church when it's convenient to you, then I question, going to church on Sunday is non-negotiable. Don't go to the park. Nah, couldn't be bothered to come to work, come to church today. I went to the park with my kids, as if that's a good thing. Well, you know, family's important, Pastor. You say family's important. Yeah, but it's not taking your kids away from God. You're the only person that's bringing them to God. And if you're not turning up, then what? How are they going to get to know the Lord? What are you teaching them? Right? Are you being consistent? This is fulfilling your destiny. It's not about having a 1,000-strong church. It's not about having a great big business or pulling up in a BM. It's not about the person on your arm. It's not about that stuff. It's not about the letters after your name. It's not about that stuff. It's about following Jesus Christ on the path that he sets and doing his will and obeying him and saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. Wherever you want me to say, I'm going to say. It's about me pleasing you. Do you attend Christian church regularly? Or are you one of the faders and slippers? You fade away and slip off. Are you involved in learning? Because a disciple learns. Do you give financially? Or are you just a tapper or a tipper? You know, when a basket goes round, you tap it. Oh, bless it, Lord. Bless what? Bless what? Or are you a tipper? You just get a little bit of change out of your pocket. What have I got? Oh, let me just fling that in. Just tip God like he's a waiter. Or are you a covenant sacrificial giver? Are you investing in eternity, or are you just spending all your money on now? Someone once said, you can't take your money with you, but you can send it on ahead. You growing as a disciple? See, when you do all these things, they're going to benefit every single area of your life. When you're following God in the destiny that he has for you on the path that he sets, then you're going to become secure. You're going to know that you're valuable. You're going to be employable. You're going to be marriageable. You're going to be incredible because you're in your destiny. Singles. Oh, you ain't getting away with nothing. Are you living in a way that shows you're in love with Christ? Huh? If yes, then you are on the narrow path of destiny. Or are you just hunting for another lover? That puts you on a different path. Merits. Are you loving and honoring each other in a way that glorifies God? That's living your destiny. Or are you still meeting your own needs first? You'll never be satisfied like that. Parents, are you bringing up your children to know Jesus in an atmosphere of love and prayer and faith? Do your kids tell others about your faith in Jesus and your church life, or do they just tell others that, oh, mum's moaning again, the old man's out? He's always angry. Or do they say, you know what? My dad's changed. He loves God and he's a better dad. I love my dad. I love my mum. See, if they can say that, then you're living your destiny. And the thing is, when you do that, not only are you living out your destiny, you're pointing your children towards theirs. And then your destiny will include legacy. It's not only you living this path, You're influencing. Your influence is continuing into another dimension. Your destiny is producing a legacy that lives on. I was going to tell you all the details about two different men. One was a man of God and one was a thief. And about 300 years of their descendants and the hundreds of people that came out of them. And out of the thief's lineage came thieves, rapists, murderers, people that were mad and crazy, continually down the lineage. But out of the other guy, a guy by the name of Jonathan Edwards, who was a preacher, he had presidents, he had congressmen, he had bank managers, he had bank owners, he had pastors, he had preachers, he had missionaries, he had doctors, he had all sorts of different people. Because of the legacy that came from him fulfilling his destiny by following Christ and living in a way that showed that Christ was center of his life. That's your destiny, man. Conclusion is this. God's will and plan has always been that we should be connected in relationship with him. And when that happens, your life becomes a work of art. You know, your destiny means that you're a masterpiece. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." A masterpiece. Your life will become a work of art. A unique, beautiful, valuable, desired. John 6:27, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me his seal of approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" And Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants for you. Believe in the one that he sent." When we truly understand destiny and what it is and where we fit into it in Christ, and that God's will be done through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you get on the path and you just understand that my destiny is not to be something like him or someone like her or to have what they've got or to have what is expected of me, but it is truly just to live following Christ. When you understand that, there will be no more stress. There'll be no more stress. Because it doesn't matter what faces you. It doesn't matter whether or not you have the resource within yourself to be able to deal with that problem or not. You're not trying to deal with a problem. You've got God backing you up dealing with a problem. I'm in the will of God. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. Whatever the price, he's going to pay it. He's already paid it. He's going to deal with it. He's going to do it. There ain't no more stress. I haven't got to become like anyone else. I haven't got to do what anyone else wants me to do. I've just got to follow Christ. And I've got to follow him daily. I've got to live for him. I've got to obey him. Every time I open the Bible and I read something about putting something off or putting something on, I just do it. And then my destiny takes shape and it continues again and goes further. That's destiny. There's no stress in that. There's no doubt in that. I ain't got to worry whether I'm doing something wrong building a church. Listen, I can't build a church. What am I? I'm not God. I can sow or I can water, but it's God that gives the increase. I'm just happy that I'm following Christ and I'm telling people, I'm working with people and I'm loving people. The rest is up to him. As long as I don't make no stupid mistakes and step out of the will of God, because you can step out of the destiny that God has for you. If I was to go and get drunk, fall out of a window and break my neck and die, that's not God's destiny for me. That was my stupidity. And there's many times we can step out of our destiny into stupidity. But God's destiny is that you don't have to have no stress. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to fear. You just have to follow faithfully. And when you do that, your life will be free. Free! Because you know that as long as I find Jesus and follow him in this part, I'm going to have him for the rest. As long as I'm doing God's will right now. It don't matter about my mansion now. It don't matter about my book signings now. It don't matter about my stature, my physique. It don't matter about anything I have around me. It doesn't matter about my fame or fortune right now. Because as long as I've got Jesus here, I've got him forever. One day my mansion in heaven, I'll invite you around. It's probably going to take you about 1,000 years to walk down my drive. And when you see me, you will see me as I truly am. Fit as a butcher's dog, looking good, tanned up, six pack. So that's the real man. This is just a dusty mortal frame covered in bubble wrap. Let's protect the inner man. Some of you in this place, watch this. We're finishing, we're done. I'm going to pray for you. I'll stay and pray for every single one of you today. You're going to get a breakthrough today. You're going to leave this place. You're going to walk in destiny and peace. Just knowing that you're following Jesus Christ and following him every day will make you want to pray. It will make you want to read the Word of God. Because you'll be finding out, Lord, what do you want me to do the next step? Don't worry about what the world says and the advertisers and all that stuff. They advertise this, you know, hair products to make you do this. You know, don't eat that, don't eat this, don't eat fat, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. We have to be wise, but at the end of the day, that's not what it's all about, man. It's about knowing God. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus says, this is eternal life. That you would know God. And Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's your destiny. To know God. And if you know God, you're on the path already. Stop struggling. And walk like a boss in grace. Invest. Not just for now, but forever. Invest your life, invest your time. What are three things that last forever? God, his word, and people. Some of you in this place, you've been struggling and stressing to find your destiny. Is it to be a film star, an author, a model, a famous person, a businessman, a celebrity, sportsman or woman? Is it to be married? Is it to have kids? Is it to do this? That ain't your destiny. You've been wasting your time, man. It's time to get on the path now and just follow Jesus Christ. Because when all is said and done, that's all that's going to matter. Later on. Come on, close your eyes. Has God spoke to you today? Has God spoke to any of you today? Listen, everything else in life is a bonus then. It's not something to be struggled for. It's just something you can enjoy if you get it. Isn't that freeing? I don't have to have it to please God. I just have to have God to please God. I don't have to do this to please God. I just have to know Jesus to please God. Isn't that freeing? I ain't got to do nothing great. I've just got to follow someone who is. Ain't that freeing? Ain't that freeing? I haven't actually got to do anything except follow Jesus. And you say, but Pastor, that's so simple. That's too simple. It leaves too much to chance. Oh, but surely we have to do something. No, you just follow Jesus. And then what happens is, as you follow him, you find that all of the stuff you struggled so long to deal with falls away. He just takes it off. You become like a man in a puffer jacket. With three jumpers, two pairs of trousers, loads of socks, a woolly hat and some gloves. All of these things that you've put on for protection or to make yourself feel better in the life that you were living, all of this additional stuff that you put on, you're like this man. And then all of a sudden you get saved and you're told, just come as you are, but just walk towards the sun. Now, using this sun analogy, imagine you're covered in all of these coats and hats and scarves and gloves and trousers and socks and things, and you start walking towards the sun, S-U-N. You're not going to keep all that stuff on you because it gets uncomfortable the hotter it gets. And what you do is you just start walking towards the sun, and the hotter it gets and the more the temperature arises, you start taking off the outer coat and you start taking off your puffer jacket and you take off a jumper. And in the end, you're just walking towards Jesus and you look back and there's this trail of addictions and broken relationships and bad decisions and things that you've taken on board, expectations and fears and doubts and shame and guilt and all of the protective things that you place upon yourself to get you through and to make it. And just by following Jesus, believing in him, doing what he says, it goes. You think my heroin addiction was broken by someone praying for me, putting me through a program, massaging my legs? No, that was nice. My addiction was broken by me getting up every day and saying, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. What do you want me to do? And what took 10 or 15 years to come just took a few steps towards him to go. And all the struggle and all the striving and all the wasting of time when we could be enjoying Jesus. You're enduring life instead of enjoying life. If that's spoken to you in some way today, come up here. Come up here. Come and stand to your feet. Come up here. Come up here. Come up. Come. Come up. Come up. Come up. If you know that you're on the path of your destiny, then I want you to help me to pray. If you know you're following Jesus and you know what I'm saying is true, I wish I'd have had more time to break it down. It's more of a Bible study that I really needed to give. It's time to start living your destiny now. See, there's darkness only because there's a lack of light. You know all darkness is the absence of light. That's all it is. There's darkness in the world, but you know why? It's because those of us that have the light, we've shielded it, we've covered it, we've placed stuff over it, we've restricted it, but God wants us to release it. He wants you to release the Jesus within you, the God within you, the power of God within you. He wants you to release it. Just let it go. Just say, you know what, God, I trust in you, I believe in you, and that's enough. All of the struggling, all the striving, all the toiling, that ain't me fulfilling my destiny. That's just me doing my thing. Me following my destiny is me following you. You are my destiny. God is our destination. Therefore, the Son of God is our destiny. Because he's the way that gets us to the Father. Lift up your hands. Do you understand, church, what I'm saying? I'm trying to get a concept across you here. It's not easy being a Christian, but it's simple, man. Follow Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know the scriptures, you know the law. Don't do this, don't do that. The young ruler to Jesus, he said, well, I've done all that from a youth. And Jesus said, well then, sell all you've got, give the money to the poor, and follow me. You want eternal life? You want to live your destiny? It don't matter about what you do, it matters about who you follow. Some of you have been worried, I'm not fulfilling my destiny, I'm a failure. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, then you are a success. You're going God's will that you do. Oh Jesus, please open our eyes, open our hearts, and set every single person in this place completely free from all of the madness, all of the pain and struggle, all of the toil, all of the works. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For you are God's workmanship, masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. You're in your destiny. Stop fighting it. Stop going somewhere else. Stop doing something else. Let God move in your life. Let Him touch you. Let Him fill you. Let Him help you. Let Him heal you. Walk in Him. Thank Him. Give Him glory. Praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We're running after things that He's already given us. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. You want to know about destiny? He already wants you to do it. He's already made it possible. We have to cooperate by believing. But then you step on the path that He's already made. The road is already laid. The way is already there. The route is already set. And then everything else that you do is then a bonus that comes from His grace and from being in His will and in His destiny. That means that you can then enjoy whatever He places before you. You can even praise Him in suffering. Consider it pure joy. How can you consider suffering joy? Well, you consider it joy because you know that these light afflictions that are but for a moment are working a far more exceeding weight of glory. That whatever it is you're going through, you've been through, whatever it is you go through in Christ, it is building something for the future. You're investing in something for eternity that can never be taken away. You might not understand it yet. Just receive it right now. And be free in this place. Then everything that comes, then you're going to be a Christian doctor. You're going to be a Christian businessman. You're going to be a Christian worker. You're going to be a Christian parent. You're going to be a Christian single. You're going to be a Christian, but you're going to be a Christian first, because Christ is at the center. And then everything else flows out. And then you walk into your blessing because He's gone before you and He's just laid them out. Do you get this? No more stress, no more fear, no more doubt, no more shame, no more guilt. Why, oh Christian, do you still feel guilt when Christ died upon the cross to take your guilt and shame? Why, oh Christian, do you feel like you're failing when Christ has ensured that you will be a success? Why do you fear when His love has been poured out on you? Is it just that His love hasn't been matured yet? You haven't caught it yet. You haven't understood fully yet. Because when His love is fully mature in your life, it drives out fear. What are you going to be afraid of? Afraid of failing? Not if you're on the path. Even if you fall, you're going to stay in the boundary. He'll pick you up. What about if I don't bear fruit? He'll cut me off. No, He won't. He'll pick you up. He'll wash you off. And He'll tie you to someone else to give you a little bit of strength for a while. Because you're never going to be alone in this world. You're never going to be forsaken in this world. He's going to take you where He said that He wants to take you. And He is not a liar. He is not a man that He can lie, or the Son of Man that He should repent. He is God. He is God alone.
He's got eternal. He is powerful. He is awesome. He is incredible. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame the devil. What makes you think now that you're in here that you can't do the same? Oh, Jesus. Fill every single person in this place with such an anointing, such a power. Revive us, oh God, to the revelation of who you are.
You are faithful, I believe. You are strong, take my hand. Precious Savior, you need.